Rabbi Barry Katz.
Taking a seat.
We'll sit around.
Yeah, it's fine. Relaxed.
Should we start? Pardon?
You can sit down as well. You can sit down as well if you wish.
Right. Good morning, everybody. Thank you all for coming or sheltering from the rain. I'm not sure which. And as always, I would like to thank CST for locking the doors to make sure that no one else can leave. I would like... there is a family yacht site this week for my oldest brother, Zichron Livracha, Yitzhak Ephraim. And so I would like this year to be Le'ilu Nishmasoi. My oldest brother, he was Nifter at a very young age. After his first year in Gate City Shiva. And he was the one who set the tone for the family. He was the one who... My older brother Avram, Zolozayin Gesunt, and myself, and my two sisters all went to Gateshead as a result. He was the pioneer of the family in those days. Very few families in those days from Leeds sent their children to yeshiva. And so it's, we have a great debt of hakaras hatov to our oldest brother, for setting the trend and following in his footsteps, and therefore this year should be Le'ilui Nishmasoi. The theme of the shir is chizuk. It's very important. Encouragement is a very great mitzvah. To encourage each other, to give each other hope and optimism, is a very great mitzvah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very machshiv when we speak to each other nicely. And I'd like to give a couple of examples as we go through how important this is, Bein Odom L'Chaveroi, and then one idea, Bein Odom L'Mokom. Although we're in serious days now, we're in Elul, I got a letter from somebody who said, best regards, and just don't forget it's Elul with a frowny face. You know, you can have a smiley face and a frown, you know, a sad face. It's a little, you know, sort of, don't forget to be miserable. So, but the truth of the matter is that these days are days of encouragement. We say, L'dovid Hashem Moriv Yishi, Kavei El Hashem, Chazak V'yameitz Libecha, V'kavei El Hashem. We'll speak about Kaveh El Hashem in a moment, Bezos Hashem, but whenever I say Kaveh El Hashem, I was zoicho in my days in Hasmonean boys' school to work for a very choshev yid, Zichron Livracha, Rav, known as Alan Cohen, Zichron Livracha, and a very choshev yid. I'm very makitov to him in so many ways, and whenever he made a coffee, he was used to say Kaveh El Hashem. That was his... It's a milsa b'dichusa, but it shows, you know, Kaveh El Hashem, we should always hope to Hashem. The question is, why does it say it twice? Kaveh El Hashem, Chazak v'yametz libecha, Chazak be strong v'yametz libecha, and encourage your heart, for Kaveh El Hashem. And David HaMelech repeats the Kaveh El Hashem. Why is it repeated? So the Malbim says as follows. Kaveh, which means to hope. When it comes to Ben Adam Nachaveroi, hope is a means to an end, which means that whenever we ask somebody something, we hope they'll fulfill our request, whatever it may be. We're hoping that they will fulfill our request. So the hope is in order that the request should be fulfilled and we can stop hoping. We don't want to keep hoping in that person. When the Mashiach rings on your doorbell and is hoping you're going to answer the door, once you've opened the door, then it's 50% of the way there. So you can stop hoping and start, and things will go well. So the hope is a means to an end. So when it comes to people, says the Malbim, we hope not to hope, because we want the request to be fulfilled. Masha'enke with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to hope in Hashem is, says the Malbim, v'hi tachlis la'atzma. Hoping in Hashem is a career in itself. Ad she'tachlis ha'kivoy hu she'chazek liboy. The reason for hoping in Hashem is itself a chizuk for a person. If I put my hope in Hashem, the very fact that I'm hoping in Hashem is in itself a tachlis, whether Hashem has yet fulfilled my desires or not. Ad she'tachlis ha'kivoy hu she'chazek liboy ve'yachzor v'yikaveh. So therefore, by placing the art scroll, who translates the Malbim, although I looked at the art scroll after the Malbim, I have to say, the Malbim says, placing our hope in Hashem is exhilarating and brings renewed strength. So these days are between Elul, the 40 days from Rosh Chodesh Elul to Yom Kippur, are indeed very serious days of introspection and seriousness, leading to the Mehadin. But nevertheless, they're hopeful. Hashem wants us to be hopeful. Hashem doesn't want us to be despondent. Hashem doesn't want us to be depressed. And there's room for chizuk and optimism. And we should follow in the middle of the Ribbono Shel Olam. If the Ribbono Shel Olam wants us to be feel hopeful, then we should be giving each other hope too. And I was just thinking, even in Unasana Toke, what's the most serious part of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, in my view, is Unasana Toke. It lays it out quite clearly. Yeah? Mi yichye, mi shoket, mi toreif, mi sholeif, mi yisiasor, mi yani, mi yosher. But if you notice, I've noticed, and I'm sure it's not a tremendous chizuk, how does Unasana Toke finish off? Mi shofeil, or mi yorum. Sorry, mi yani, mi yosher. It doesn't say, yeah, mi is always a negative. In the previous, mi shalev mi yisyasor, the positive with the negative. Mi yani is the negative, or mi yosher is positive. Mi shofeil, or mi yorum. Who will go down, and mi yorum, who will go up. It doesn't follow on the previous mi shalev mi yisyasor. It should say mi yorum or mi shofeil, and that's how it should end off. But the tefillah is written that we finish off a mi yorum, and who will be exalted. And some say even in the previous mi yani mi yosher, it's already coming more positive, and that teshuva tefillah tzedakah ma'avirin Yisrael gezeira. So even though it's serious, there's reason to be optimistic and to hope, and Hashem wants us to be hopeful and optimistic. And therefore, that's the message I want to try and give over in the few minutes that we have together, Bezras Hashem. There's a very sweet story which I once heard from a friend of mine that, I don't know whether it happened to him or whether he himself heard it from somebody else. There was a goy and came to a yid. He happened to see, perhaps it was in a school, perhaps it was in a business place, he happened to see the Yom Kippur Machzor. And the Yom Kippur Machzor was translated into English. And on top it says Yom Kippur, and on the other side it says Day of Atonement. So the non-Jewish fellow picks up this Machzor, he says, what does it mean, the Day of At-One-Ment? What does At-One-Ment mean? Atonement, At-One-Ment. So he was making a joke of the word atonement. What does at-one-ment mean? And so the yid smiled, very funny, but then he began to think about it, that what is Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? What is the purpose? The purpose is at-one-ment, to come back to Hashem, to be at one with Hashem, to do teshuva. That so we want to be at one with Hashem. We want to be in tune with the Ribbono Shel Olam. There's a very famous word, I think it's from the Arizal, when we say Emir Hashem, we say very often, will you do something for me, Emir Hashem? So the Arizal says that this focuses in on the pasuk in Yehi Chavod, which we say, Rabbos Machshavos Belevish. There are many thoughts in the heart of a man. Rabbos Machshavos Belevish. Vatzas Hashem, He Sokum. But that which the Ribbono Shel Olam wants, He Sokum, that will be fulfilled. He is Hey Yud Aleph. And when we say Mirtz Hashem, it's Aleph Yud Hey Mirtz Hashem. We're linking into that pasuk in Mirtz Hashem that I hope to do what it will be. Rabbos Machshavos Belevi Vasas Hashem He Sokum Hey Yud Aleph. The Aleph Yud Hey of Mirtz Hashem is Hey Yud Aleph He Sokum. That I'm hoping that what I want to do is the Rotzon Hashem, and if it's the Rotzon Hashem, then it'll be with Hatzlacha. So therefore, these days are days of atonement. We want to come back to the Ribbono Shel Olam, that Mirtz Hashem, He Sokum, that we should do what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants us to do, and we should find Metzochein V'Seichel Toiv Be'enei Elokim V'Adam. So these are, yes, very serious days, but they are days of hope and optimism. I'm just reminded after Yom Kippur when I was in Hasmonean, so I met there's a big staff, and there was a non-Jewish member of staff, a Catholic, very elecha person, and they said, Rabbi Katz, you've just had Yom Kippur, how long do you fast for? So I said, it's about 26 hours end to end. And he said, and what are you allowed to eat or drink in that time? I said, nothing. No eating and drinking for 20, nothing. He said, it's amazing. We have, in the Catholic faith, we have 6 fast days a year, but we are allowed, on every fast day, you're allowed 6 infusions. I said, what's an infusion? An infusion is a tea and biscuits. You can have on your fast day, you can have, it's a nice word, infusions, isn't it? You can have 6 infusions, and that's our fast day. So he said, compared to what you do, this is a joke. So we can't have any infusions on Yom Kippur, but the fact is, it's a serious day, but it's a day of hope and optimism, and we hope good things will come as a result. So to show us, to give a little bit of a historical view of Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara brings these psukim. It's from Nehemiah in Perechess. Vayom Nehemiah hu hatirshas v'ezra hakoyhein hasoifah halavim hamavinim esa'am l'cholam. So Ezra and Nehemiah spoke to the people. He was called Tirshah, he had Tirshasah. He was apparently some kind of title, a Persian title. And he spoke to the people, Hayom Kodoshu Lashem Elokeichem. Today is a very holy day. The Klal Yisrael were gathered in the Beis HaMikdash, and there was a feeling of Teshuvah which was sweeping Klal Yisrael. Hayom Kodoshu Lashem. And Rashi says, because Ki Yom Rosh Hashanah Hu. This day was Rosh Hashanah. And Klal Yisrael were gathered together in the Azora. And Hayom Kodeshu Lashem Elokeichem. Al Tisablu. Don't be mournful. Ve'al Tivku. And don't cry. Ki Boichim Kolam. Because everybody was crying. Kishoma Mes Divrei HaTorah. There was a feeling of Teshuvah. And Klal Yisrael felt they'd fallen short. And there was a lot of weeping. And Nehemiah and Ezra said, Don't cry, don't be misabel. Vayom elohem, luchu ichlu mashmanim, go home and eat mashmanim, geshmak ezachen, ashusum amtakim, and drink sweet things. Veshilchu monos lein nochon loy. Don't forget to make sure that the poor people are accounted for. Ki kodosh hayom ladoneinu, because today is holy to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Ve'al te'otzvu, but do not be despondent. Ki chedvas Hashem hi mo'ozuchem, because the love of Hashem, the chedva of Hashem, is your strength. And just one second. Yeah, and the Radak says the Matzudas David, I'm sorry, says, Rotzen Loimer, what does it mean, Ki Chedvas Hashem Himo Zechem? What does that mean? It means, says the Matzudas David, Simchas Yontav, she is Simcha Shel Mitzvah. Rosh Hashanah is a day of judgment, but it's a day of Simcha Shel Mitzvah. He Titein Lachem Ois. This should give you strength, Vatat Sumois, and encouragement. And so therefore be happy, be joyful, be optimistic. Of course, take it seriously. Of course, Yom HaDin is Yom HaDin, but nevertheless, it doesn't make us depressed. And therefore, it gives you ois v'tat sumois. And this links in to Kavel Hashem, Chazak v'ya meitz libecho, v'kavel Hashem, that we've got reason to be hopeful. So I'd like to give a few examples of how we can be... If the Ribbono Shel Olam wants us to be hopeful and to be optimistic, how important it is to make sure that all of us feel optimistic and hopeful and give each other chizuk as much as we possibly can. Now, in the Sefer HaToydah, the word Elul is a very interesting word. So the Sefer HaToydah says Elul. What does Elul mean? Elul means something. Loshen Targum Hu. This is, Elul is actually an Aramaic derivative. Mashmoi hisboinenus chipus chipush v'chitut. It's a time of introspection. K'mo shenemar v'yosuru es ha'oretz. When Moshe Rabbeinu said to the Meraglim to spy out the land, he matargiminon v'yalalun es yosaro. V'yalalun. Search out the land. Shekachi inyono shel chodesh zeh, because the tachlis of this month, hisboinenus halev al kol maase hashana, etc. So the Sefer HaToydah says that the word Elul is the word for the word Alalun, which means and links to the Lashna Kodesh, which is the Yosuru. So therefore, the purpose of Elul is in order to look into our past and to see where we can improve and things which we need to brush up on and certain things which we need to brush out altogether. But I'm being a little bit poetic, because Moshe Rabbeinu went on to say, when he gave instructions to the Meraglim, he gave the following instructions. He said, When you go to search Eretz Yisrael, look for the cities, look for the armies, look for the big things. But he says, "Hayesh bo eitz imayin." Look for a tree. See if there's a tree there. So there's no question that Elul, the word Elul means to search, and that's where it starts and stops. But I'm just being a little bit more poetic. I'm just being a little bit metaphorical. In the same way that Moshe Rabbeinu, in this Elul, in this the Yosuru, asked them to look for the big things, he also asked them to look for the small things. Look for Hayesh Bo Eitz Imayin. So what does it mean? So Rashi says, Im Yesh Bohem Adam Kosher Sheyegin Aleihem Kebizchusoi. Is there one person who will perhaps protect the whole of Canaan in his Zechus, and will prevent us from conquering Eretz Canaan? And as the Kliyoka on that pasuk says, Dorshu Chazal, Im Yesh Shom Adam Kosher Sheyegin Aleihem Ke'et Zeh. Ha'oyset Seil Umegin Al Kol Hamistoyfeh Betziloi. A tree is a very great bracha to its surroundings. It binds all the soil together. It produces oxygen. It's a mechaya. The tree is a very important feature. Valzer Nema, that's when Yeshua and Kolev said later, Sort Silome Aleihem. You'd have to worry. Their sail has gone. Their protection has gone. Shekava Meis Eov. This is referring to Eov. Eov was the Adam Kosher. So I'm metaphorically going to suggest that in the same way that Moshe Rabbeinu in his Elul, in his Yosuru, and he was worried not only about the big things, he was concentrating on the small things. So I want to say that by giving a chizuk to each other, this is the eighth, this is Hayesh Bo Eitz Imayin. If we can find that tree, that mitzvah, that one nakuda in our past and in our present and Bez Hashem in our future, then we've got reason to be optimistic. So I'm being a little bit poetic, but hopefully you'll bear with me. So therefore, if we can be mechazek ourselves in this mitzvah of giving each other chizuk, perhaps this will be the yesh bo eitz. This will be the tree. This will be the mitzvah. In the same way that Moshe Rabbein was worried for eitz echad, which could prevent the whole of Klal Yisrael going into Eretz Yisrael, so perhaps we can find the eitz echad in our own lives, which, if we get it right, can tip the balance in our favour. What works negatively, works positively as well. And in fact, it's interesting, just focusing on the Meraglim, that there was a delay for 40 years. There was a delay of 40 years. The Meraglim came back with a bad report. They discouraged Klal Yisrael, and we know that we had to stay in the Midbar for 40 years. And so as a result, we were actually delayed. And the question is that we know what we did wrong. We listened to the Meraglim. But if you turn the coin over, the Canaanim had 40 extra years in Canaan. So we know what we did wrong, but what did they do good? We know our Avera, but what was their mitzvah? There was two cheshbonos. So if they were able to stay in Canaan for 40 extra years, what did they do good? Why did they deserve that? And there's the Rashi, if you look in Yehoshua, at the end of Perek Yud Dalad, the Pasuk there says, "V'oretz shokto mimilchoma," that when Yeshua was taking Klal Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael, there was a gap of 40 years. Says Rashi, "V'oretz shokto mimilchoma." Says Rashi, "Avram Avinu," that this is in the zechus of Avram Avinu. The zechus of Avram Avinu prevented Klal Yisrael from going into Eretz Yisrael. What does that mean? Who shegaram lehem shoret shoktom imilchoma arbaim shana shenizakvu bamidbar? That we were delayed because of Avram Avinu 40 years. What does that mean? Says Rashi, Bisachar shekibdu es hazokein, the Canaanim, the Bnei Ches, Ephraim's chevra. Bekiras Arba, the Sheomru Loi, Nesiyele Kimato Besochenu. When Avram Avinu came to Berisoro Imenu, they said to him, Nesiyele Kimato Besochenu. You are a man of God, a princely man amongst us. And therefore, Rashi says, because of those four words, Hashem rewarded the Canaanim. You could stay in Eretz Yisrael 40 extra years. So we see that you gave encouragement to Avram Avinu. This was Nichem Avelim. You said four nice words. Nesiya l'kimata besochenu. And as a result of those encouraging words, Hashem loves it when we encourage each other. And Hashem says, in that zechus, you can stay in Canaan for an extra 40 years. Millions of goyim, 40 extra years, because of four words. So here we see that when you give somebody encouragement, it's such a huge accomplishment. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens very carefully, because there's nothing small when one says Ribono Shel Olam. So if Hashem is machshiv this chizuk, then how much more so should we always be looking, Kavel Hashem, Chasavi HaMez Libercho, the Kavel Hashem. So we too can be hopeful, and we feel optimistic, and we want to make sure, this is the message, we've got to make sure that we all feel a chizuk. We have to give every opportunity to give each other a chizuk. And I'll try and give a few more examples. The pasuk says in Akev, Ahoyo Akev Tishmun, if a person will only listen to the mitzvahs of Hashem, all good things will happen. So Rashi says, what's the Eikev Tishmun? Im ha-mitzah she'odom toshba ha-keiv of Tishmun. There are mitzahs which a person treads with a foot. They don't realize. They don't realize the value. Certain things we focus on. Shachris, Mincha, Marim, Talit, Tefillin, Shiurim. We're always concentrating on the big things. But the Pasuk is telling us the little things also count. Because there's nothing big, there's nothing small when it comes to serving the Ribono Shel Olam. So these nice words which we say to each other are very, very, very important. Four nice words, and we had to stay in the Midbar for 40 extra years. So it says in Pirkei Avos, in Peret Beis, Mishnah Aleph, Rebbe Oime, V'hevei zohi b'mitzvah kalaki b'chamura, be careful with mitzvahs which you think are small, as with mitzvahs which you think are great. Shein ato yode matan schon shel mitzvahs. You don't know the reward, how Hashem's going to reward. What you think is a small thing, Hashem will reward massively. So let's just give a few examples. There's many examples, and this is just to start the thought process, and I'm sure that we won't think of many examples of our own. Well, with Rivka Imenu, when Eliezer is looking for a wife for Yitzchak Avinu, so he sets a test, whoever will come to and offer me and my camels water. And along comes Rivka, and she won the jackpot. But listen to what she said. Eliezer goes over to her and says, can I have some water to drink? And notice the words she says. She says, Shisei Adoini, drink my master. Eliezer is standing there with 10 men. And she goes to the well to draw the water, and she has a whole tircha. Eliezer timed it perfectly, and he goes over to her and says, may I have something to drink? Anybody else would have said, here's the well, and that's the end of it. But she said, Shisei Adoini. She made him feel good. She gave him a chizuk, not that you're bothering me, and it's such an important thing as a result of her menschlichkeit and how she treated Eliezer. She treated the camels and made Eliezer feel choshuv. It wasn't a tznius which won the day. It wasn't how long she davened Shemon Esrei. The posuk only focuses on her midas, on how she gave Eliezer a chizuk and made him feel choshuv, and not that he was bothering her. And the rest, as we say, is history. Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Ben is looking after the animals. He's looking after the animal. He's giving a chizuk to a little animal, the sheep, which was thirsty. How did we come to be by the burning bush? How did he come to be there? So we see that Hashem is looking for the little things. It's the little things which are very, very big. Shaul HaMelech, I just taught this in school last year, so I'm a little bit familiar with it. Shaul HaMelech, how did he become Melech Yisrael? How did he become the king? He became the king because he was looking for some donkeys for his father. He was fulfilling the mitzvah of Kibbudav. His father had lost some donkeys, and Shaul is looking for them, and he meets Shmuel HaNavi, and the rest is history. So we see that when a person does the right thing, is in careful and sensitive to the feelings of others, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very in. I've discussed this the shiur with my brother Zoller Zayin Gesund, and he pointed out to me something which I may otherwise have missed, and so in the Sedra, yesterday's Sedra, the Pasuk says, Ki motzei cholol ba'adomo, asher Hashem elokecha nosen lechol ishto, noifel basodeh, loinoida mihikohu, loyoleinu, you find a corpse in between two cities, v'yosu zekenecha v'shoftecha v'modadu el ha'orim, you find out which is the nearest city, and v'lochu zignei ha'er ha'er eglas bakod, they have to take a korban, and you have to do a procedure, and they the based in the Sanhedrin of that town did not kill this man. Says Rashi, what do you mean? Yeah. Yeah, says Rashi. What does it mean? Well, why would we accuse these chachamim? Why would we accuse the Beis Din of chas v'shalom killing this man? It says Rashi ela loy reinuhu. We didn't see him upatranuhu, and we didn't send him away beloy mezoinos or beloy levoyo, without food and without accompanying. So we didn't know about this person. Had we seen him, we would have given him food, we would have accompanied him, and would have sent him on his way. So I looked in the sefer of Rav Pinchas Roberts on the Zayin Gezunt on the Sedra, and he says, what's going on over here? So that we didn't send him away without food and without accompanying him. So he says the question, but this man didn't die of starvation. He didn't die because he was hungry. He died because he was killed. So why does the fact that the Chachomim say that we didn't send him away without food and accompanying him make a difference? That's not what caused his death. His death was he was attacked. So he brings from Rav Simcha Zissel of Kelm, and he said as follows. He said, when a person is traveling from town to town, like a Meshulach or something similar, yeah, he's got a very difficult life. He struggled hard, and he has got covered, and he's very despondent. If you have to go collecting, and you have to go, you know, knocking on doors, it's very despondent. And when he gets attacked, he doesn't feel, he's got no sense of value. So a mailer, he doesn't put up a fight. Okay? So what's he got to fight for? Yeah, it's hard enough to live from day to day. So somebody comes along to shlug him, lo aleinu, so he gives in. However, if the inhabitants of the city would have given him a good send-off and treated him with respect, with food and accompanying for part of his journey, the result would have been different. With his pride restored, his stomach full, and the compliments of the people ringing in his ears, he would have fought like a lion. He would have fought like a lion to save his life. And his death could well have been averted. Therefore, the Zakenim, who represent the city, have to confirm that they did everything in their power to build up the visitor and give him self-esteem, confidence, and an optimistic outlook. If nevertheless he was overcome and killed, they're not to blame, because we would have done this. So therefore, Robert says, and this is our theme, that there are many great lessons to be learnt here. That many people go through life feeling despondent and feeling downcast, and when we give them a chizuk, and we breathe mamash new life into them. Chizuk means encouragement, it means make strong, literally and physically. You can make a person feel, give a person a new lease of life. And therefore, how important it is when you speak, give somebody a chizuk, it can literally be the difference between life and death. And therefore, it's so important to give chizuk. And we see there's so many examples. We're running out of time, but till 10:20, we see by Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef HaTzadik, he comes to the butler and the baker. We may have mentioned this before. Vayishal vayayosam v'inam zoyafim vayov alem Yosef baboiker. So Yosef comes to the butler and the baker. And he sees the Vayayasam Vinam Zoafim, they're a bit down in the dumps. Vayishal Esurise Parasha Itoi Bemishma Besadon of Leimoir. Madua Panechim Roim Hayoim. So there's a number of things over here. First of all, why does the Pasuk say he was with them in prison? Because obviously, if they were together in prison, how could he speak to them? Secondly, what's the leimor? The leimor means normally something you say over. Leimor is to say to somebody else. So what's the leimor over here? So I think that one of the answers is as follows. That Yosef was in prison. He too was in prison. Yosef had many reasons to be despondent and wrapped up in his own misery. He never knew when he was going to come out. He never knew if he would ever come out. He didn't, perhaps this was, he's going to spend the rot his whole life in prison and never be reconciled with his family again. He had much reason to be despondent and upset and wrapped up in his own misery. But he was able to put his own sorrows to one side and focus on them. And he said, and Leymar means something that we should also be saying. Leymar, we should follow in those footsteps, that even though we're feeling a little bit, again, we come back to the Meshulach, it's a very big test of a person's midas. You come home, you're tired, you've had a long day, and there's a knock on the door. Okay, so Shulach number one, he perhaps gets, we've still got a little bit of time for him. But Shulach number two and three and four is getting a bit, but as far as he's concerned, he's not Shulach number three, he's still number one. And therefore, when we give him a hard time or don't show him that nice face, then we're not following the footsteps of Yosef HaTzadik. And he said, "Madua paneichem roim hayoim." Four words. It's always four. It's interesting. Nasir lekim ato besochenu led to the extra time in Eretz Yisrael. Madu apenechem roim hayoim led to Yosef becoming out of prison eventually, and the rest is history. And there's a very nice, so this idea of giving people chizuk is tremendously important. In Parshat Re'eh is a lovely vort, this on this leimor, something you say over to somebody else. It's mamish this thought. The pasuk says in Parshat Re'eh, "Ki lo yechdal evyo mikerev haaretz, al kein anochi mitzavcho leimor." When the poor man comes, "Pasayach tiftach es yodcho lachicha laniecha." I command you, leimor, saying, "Pasayach tiftach es yodcho lachicha laniecha levyon chabatzecha." Open your hand. Rav Twersky says, what's the leimor? Alkein anochi mitzavcho, leimor. What's the leimor? Alkein anochi mitzavcho, posach tiftach es yodcho. What's the leimor? Who are you talking to? So Rav Twersky wants to say the leimor means that when the poor man comes to your door and he's feeling despondent and he's feeling downcast and depressed, then alkein anochi mitzavcho, leimor, say to him, say to this poor man who's standing at your door, "Posoyach tiftach es yodcho lachicha laniecha." One day you're being helped now, but one day you'll be able to help others. The wealth is cyclical. What goes around comes around. Al kein anochi mitzavcho leimor, posoyach tiftach es yodcho. This is what I want you to say to the poor man. Encourage him and give him a feeling of optimism that one day he will be able to answer the door and help other people in the same way that he's being helped today. We are running out of time, so I'm going to jump ahead a little bit and to show that how important it is on this theme. If you'd go to Eretz Yisrael and you want to follow a biblical route, so you'll notice that when in the Leviah of Yaakov Avinu, the Bnei Yisrael came to a place called Goren HaOtod, and you feel you'd like to go to Goren HaOtod from Mitzrayim to Eretz Yisrael, they went to Goren HaOtod. It's the pasuk says in Parashat Vayechi. So you put into your satnav Goren HaOtod. So Chazal say you'll never find it because it never existed. And the Medrash says as follows: Amar Rabbi Shmuel ben Nachman, Chazanu al kol haMikra v'loy matzonu mokam sheshmoy Otod. There was never a place called Otod. V'chi yesh goyin laOtod. What does goyin laOtod mean? Goyin laOtod means a threshing floor of thorns. Goyin is a threshing floor. Otod are thorns. And in any case, why would you don't thresh thorns? You don't. It's not a thing one does. Ela elu haKenanim. The thorns refer to the Kenanim. Melameh shehayu ruuyim lodush kaOtod. Their time in Canaan was up because of their averus. Beizes chus nitzoilu. So why were they saved? Bischus chesed shealsu miYaakov Avinu. They did a tremendous chesed. Umach chesed osu. What did they do? I'll jump. Rabbi Yehuda bar Shalom Amru, Heru ba'etzba v'amru, Ovel kovet zeh le'mitzrayim. The pasuk says that. Ovel kovet zeh. They pointed. Rabbanon Amre Zotfu Kamosan, they bowed down. When the Levi came, they passed down. They gave a chizuk to the Bnei Yaakov, they gave chizuk to the Yidden who were accompanying their father to the Kavura. V'hari dvorim kal v'choyme. Uma elu shloi holchu loi b'yodon v'loi b'raglon. They didn't do anything with their hands and feet. Ela al yidei sheheru be'etzba nitzolim min apuronus. They were saved. The Canaanim had another 250 years in Canaan. 240 years while we went to Mitzrayim, 40 years in the Midbar. They had an extension of a lease of 250 years because they pointed a finger. Yisrael, Sheimoisim, Chesedim, Gedoleim, Vem, Ketaneim, Biodeim, Veragleim, Al Kalachs, Kamakama. The we Yidden who go all out to help each other, how much more so will we be saved from any Gezerah because of the Chesed, which we do. If already the Canaanim of El Kovetz there, they just lifted a finger, they were saved. How much more so when we help each other, how much more so is that going to be a tremendous zechus for us? And I have to mention very quickly, when we're driving, it's an opportunity that I've noticed when we're in Scotland and you let somebody through, you wave at them, they wave back. It's very important. See, to make a Kiddush Hashem here in Manchester, where Water Park Road and the roads are very narrow, when you move over, you let somebody through, and the person drives by, he doesn't say thank you. It's not nice. You give a wave. Which other mitzvah, which other area of our lives do we come so close to non-Jewish people? You can mamash make a phenomenal Kiddush Hashem, or to another yid, you wave, you say thank you. You lift your finger. You notice Ribbono Shel Olam is looking at these goyim. They pointed and said, Avil Kovetz there, you lift your hand in friendship, in chizuk, give some your chizuk. It's a tremendous zechus, and therefore this is another half an hour to go, but we'll have to leave for another time. So I hope that I've been able to give over in some small measure the importance of giving each other chizuk. I'd just like to end with a brocha, and the brocha is that, because we're looking forward to the next year, and this is a famous trick of the Yetzer Hara. Look forward to the next year, the next year, the next year. The Sfas Emes says, in Rosh Hashanah, Erev Rosh Hashanah, Mincha, Borech Aleinu, Hashem Elokeinu, Es Hashanah, Hazois. There's still so much brocha and opportunity for chesed and siyata dishmai, and so many good things can happen yet in Tovshin Nun Ches. So Bezos Hashem, Tovshin. Oh, how quickly time flies. And therefore, Bezos Hashem, we should be zoicher yet this year to give each other chizuk, to give chizuk, to take chizuk, and Bezos Hashem, all the prophets of this year should spill over to the coming year. Lanu l'chol Yisrael, amen.
Before the Shia, I knew you were wrong. There was no need to stuff you here.